This message this morning is a special sermon for the Calvary family. That doesn't mean it's not for all those that are listening live or any of those that are around the world or whatnot, but it's particularly for us, if you will. And, you know, the Lord spoke to me about 3 months ago, and I've kept it in my heart. I've prayed over it. I've pondered it and so forth. And I was actually holding off on this sermon to do in 2023 if the Lord tarries. And so it was go along mainly with the next year. But then I just felt that the Lord said, no, I want this done now. And as I've prayed over the next 3 months about what the Lord gave me, because it's so wild that, I told the Lord, I said, you really want me to share this with the sheep of your pasture? They already think I'm strange. But now they're going to think I've lost it or something. So here's what I did. I said, Lord, I don't know how to teach this. I don't know how to teach what you have given unto me for this body. And I said, would you give me the text so I can prove what you're telling me? And the Lord did. So that's why we are in 1 Chronicles this morning. The title of this morning's sermon is A Christmas Prayer. Say that with me, A Christmas Prayer. Do you know there's over 650 recorded prayers in the Bible? And not only that, there's probably maybe 400, 435 answers to those prayers. So we're going to look at a prayer this morning. The Lord, he led me, as I prayed about it, to one of the most unfamiliar passages, as we just read it, there in Scripture. And so when you study out 1 Chronicles, you know, it begins in chapter 1 with Adam and his lineage and so forth. And it lists all the different families throughout. It ends with, First Chronicles with David, of course. And so in chapter 4, we're looking at the families of Judah, which Jabez, of course, was a part of that family. And so there's 118 names that are listed there, but there's hardly any detail that's given about them, okay? And so suddenly, all of a sudden, out of all the names that are given, it's like the Holy Spirit just zooms in on one particular individual named Jabez. Now listen, we don't know anything really about this individual, although we're going to find out a lot more than we think. We don't know his age. We don't know the name of his father. We don't know his marital status. We don't know if he has children. We don't know anything about him. What we do know is this, that the Holy Spirit of God thought that his prayer was so important, he put it in the Bible for every generation. Amen? But not only that, we're looking at a man who believed in prayer. And the prayer that he prayed to God changed his life forever and ever and ever. That's what prayer can do. Amen? So let's look this morning at Jabez, beginning in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. It says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So the first thing that we know about his character is that one word, he's honorable. He was just not just honorable, he was more honorable than his siblings or his brothers, if you will. That's a wonderful word from the Holy Spirit of God. Wouldn't you want that to be said about you and me? Amen. Now listen carefully. We don't know how many brothers Jabez had, but what we do know about them, that they were a problem in the family. They dishonored the family. They weren't like Jabez. And, it's possible also that the word there, honorable, can be translated different. It may, I don't think it does, but it might describe his spiritual condition, if you will. Because the word honorable in Hebrew is kabod. And the word there is mentioned 14 times in Scripture. And it means heavy or the glory of God. Have you ever experienced the presence of Almighty God? And did you feel, you knew that was there a heaviness upon you? So that word can be used that way, but it also can be used as like a weight upon a person's life or a heavy burden upon a person's life. Was he weighed down? Of course, he had to be weighed down with a name like Jabez, which I'll get to in a moment. But, you know, there's a play on words, and look at verse 9 again. And here it comes. And his mother called his name what? Jabez, okay, that word means pain. You are a pain. Can you imagine naming your child, hey, sorrowful pain. You know what I mean? So he says, you are a pain. And she said this, the reason, because I bore him, I bore Jabez in what? In pain. Well, there's that word again, meaning in sorrow, in pain, and so forth. So his mother decided to call at birth when he was born, because the birth was painful. She said, I'm going to call his name Jabez. He's a pain, if you will. How would you like your mother to name you that? You know, in other words, you make me sorry that you were ever born or something, you know? And so we look at this and we have to ask ourselves a question as we set this up. Was she referring here to the pain of childbirth? Yeah, but is all childbirth painful? I've never had a child, but I know a lot of women, my wife included, and is it painful? You didn't want to be in the room with her. Yeah, so we could actually, every mother could call their child a Jabez, right? Oh, what a pain. Now, not only that, or does it mean, and I say this tongue in cheek, the word kabod, of course, means heavy. Does that mean that he was like a big, big baby at birth? You know what I'm talking about, a porker, you know? You know? And he was a pain to deliver, you know? 21 pounds, I don't know. But I don't think that's what this means here. You know, the Bible tells us, what did God say unto Eve? In Genesis 3:16, he said this. He said, to the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you shall bring forth children. So most all children are birthed in pain, right? I mean, even if you have an epidural, I mean, sometimes that doesn't work. I've had people, I didn't want to go, never mind about that. But here's what I want to tell you. What I just read to you about her calling him that, pain, maybe that introduces or gives us a clue to what we're trying to understand this morning and what I want you to understand. You see, if you study out Chronicles, you'll find that there's always like the listing of the father. But there's no listing of a father here. You know, none at all, just his brothers and so forth. So, and there's also no listing like it is in the other parts of the inheritance of the land that is passed down from generation to generation. That's not mentioned at all. But how would you like to grow up all of your life with the name Jabez? But look what he did. And it says in verse 10 again, and Jabez, he prayed, he called on the God of Israel, saying, he prayed. Do you believe in prayer? Oh, prayer is the work. He prayed to the only true and living God who alone can hear your prayers and alone can answer your prayers and the only God who cares about you. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, you can cast all of your hurt, all of your anxieties, all of your burdens, all of your worries upon him, for he cares for you. His name was Jabez. And he prayed to God. Job put it this way in Job 5:7, yet a man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward, but as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause, who does great things, who does unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Now listen carefully. Father was not listed. No property was listed, but his dishonorable brothers were listed, and Jabez was more honorable than they were. Now, here's my question that I will prove later. Did those brothers, by chance, did they lose their inheritance? I mean, did they somehow squander their inheritance just like the prodigal son did? You see what I'm getting at? And not only that, we could even say, did the dad, he's not mentioned, did he lose it? Did he lose that property that goes down in the Jewish realm from generation to generation? That was God's command. And so we're not told exactly. But what we do know is that Jabez prayed, and he prayed to God, and he only uses 32 words. And in those 32 words, he gives and asks God for five specific things in his prayer. Verse 10. Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, and I love that word, oh, It's not like, oh, it's, oh, it's an intense cry, okay? It's filled with deep emotion, if you will. He says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. He asked for God's supernatural, abundant, divine favor, and that is intense, loved one. It's not just bless me. It's indeed bless me. With all everything that you have, oh, God, do what no other person can do. Would you bless me? Now, listen, he's in prayer, and you know what he's doing? He is clinging to God, and that's what we have to do in prayer. Amen? The Holy Spirit praying through us. Man, Jabez believed in prayer. He was almost wrestling with God. Do you remember Jacob in Genesis 32? Remember how Jacob was afraid of Esau, and he sent all of his wives and all of his children and all of his cattle across the river, and he was there at night all by himself, and all of a sudden the man appeared, and Jacob started wrestling with him. Remember that story? And it says in Scripture in Genesis 32:25, and when he saw that he did not prevail against him, in other words, Jacob wouldn't let the man go. And the man, by the way, is a capital M, so we know it's the Lord. And he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was cast out of, was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And then he said, oh, let me go, for the day breaks. Now, that's the Lord speaking. In other words, no man has seen God's face and lives. But he said, I love this, but I will not let you go unless you bless me. You see, that's what Jabez was praying. God, I can't make it anymore. I need your incredible supernatural blessing upon me. Here in a text I just read, Jacob is saying, I would rather die. I'll die. I'd rather die than not get your blessing. I want your blessing. And so he said to him, well, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Remember the story? My name is Jacob. The word Jacob means supplanter or deceiver. He admitted who he really was to God. And he said, well, your name shall no longer be called deceiver or supplanter or Jacob, but Israel, Prince of God. He said, for you've struggled with God and with men and you have prevailed. And Jacob said, well, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why do you ask me my name? In other words, you know who I am, Jacob. And it says that he, meaning God, blessed him there. Jabez is full of pain and sorrow because of his name. How would you like to ever, for all of your brothers, hey, pain, come here, buddy, you know, all of your life. And God just told Jacob, he said, Jacob, you'll never be called deceiver again because you are Prince of Israel now. You know, I don't want you, and God doesn't want you. Maybe you have a name that's in your ranks right now. It could be I'm unfaithful or, you know, I'm doing this or I'm doing that or whatever it is. Don't let that word describe you in 2023. Amen. And don't fight with God about it like Jacob was doing. Just go to God. He is full of grace and he is full of mercy. And you know what he does? He wipes that record clean. Amen. That's what God does. Listen, Jabez said, Lord, you have to bless me. Please bless my life. Bless all that I do. And we know that God is going to grant his request, loved one. The question is, do you know that you're blessed? It's easy to know, but do you believe you're blessed? No. Do you really believe Ephesians 1:3? That thanks be unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's past tense, who has blessed us with every, say that word, every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Man, there's no more blessings for us. We have each and every blessing. I mean, we are overflowing in blessings from God. All we have to do is go to the throne of grace and appropriate them by faith, believing that we're blessed. We are have been pronounced blessed, as you heard me say a million times, by Almighty God. Proverbs 10:22 says this, the Lord's blessing is the greatest wealth. And that's a true word, isn't it? Now let's look at in verse 10 again, the second request or specific request. He says, and enlarge my what? My territory. Enlarge my border, if you will. The Good News Bible says, give me much land. That's a good translation, but I don't particularly care for it. The word enlarge, these words, now this is what I just read, this verse here is very important. The word enlarge means to increase or extend my territory. But the word territory is the key to the scripture. The word there means an area under the jurisdiction of another. Do you follow me? An area of land that's under the jurisdiction of another, meaning it's not under Jabez. Does that make sense? And so he says, oh, that your hand, oh God, that you would be with me in that territory, Lord, that I'm asking for. And be with me now. He's requesting, says, God, I need your presence. I need your power, Lord. I need all that you are. I need your hand. I don't need my abilities. I don't need anyone else's abilities. You see, Jabez, his heart, it says his name is sorrowful. His heart was overwhelmed, loved one. You know, one of the great scriptures that David prayed, that I pray often, oh Lord, hear my prayer. You know, bend your ear down to me, if you will. Come close, Lord, and hear me. He says, oh, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We need God to guide us. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11 about God being our guide, it says, you will show us the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. Here it comes. And in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, that's the right hand of God. Amen. Now, you know God doesn't have a right hand. God is spirit. Amen. He's speaking so you'll understand and I'll understand. He's bringing it down to our level. You know, Isaiah, what did Isaiah say in 41:10? God speaks and he says, listen, fear not. And this goes for all of us this morning. If the Lord tarries, we enter 2023, fear not. And here's the reason. God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. Listen, who else do we need? Amen? He says, I am with you. That means his presence, loved one. He says, don't be dismayed. He says, for I am your God. He says, I will strengthen you. That, in other words, all the power that you need. Yes, I will help you. That's the provision that we need. He says, I will uphold you with my righteousness, my righteous right hand. That's his protection. Look at the next specific that Jabez prays. And that you would keep me, you, not anyone else, God, you. That you would keep me from evil. Do you know there's not anyone else that can keep us from evil but God? And so he's saying, Lord, would you guard me? The word keep there means to guard. Would you guard me? Would you protect me from evil? Protect me from harm? You know what? That's my prayer for all of us in 2023. Amen? He says, oh, Lord, guard me from all the evil strategies of the evil one. Do you know that right this very minute, God is guarding you? He is guarding you. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful. Do you believe that? Yes, he is. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you. Establish you. He puts you on the rock, and the rock is Christ. Who will establish you, and then it says, guard you or keep you from the evil one. Do you pray, ever pray the Lord's Prayer? You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then it goes on down, and what does Jesus tell us to pray? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, meaning the evil one. And then look at the fifth specific here in verse 10. He says, and that I may not cause what? Isn't that interesting? I don't want to cause pain. I don't want to cause sorrow. The NIV translates it, I just want to be free from pain. I love Jabez. Listen, he says this, I don't want to be known any longer as pain or sorrow. And I don't want to be a pain or a sorrow to anybody else in my life. What a great word. Jabez, in his prayer, loved one, has gone full circle. And let me tell you again how intense this prayer is, okay? Look at the end of it, and the word pain, and do you see an exclamation mark? He is shouting that out to God. He is so intense in his prayer. And like I said, he's gone full circle. He began with pain. He ends his prayer with pain. And he's saying this, I just want a new beginning. Do you need a new beginning? He's saying, I just want the hurt to stop. I just want to stop hurting, Lord. What did God do when Jabez prayed? Look at it. So God granted him what he requested. What does that mean? That means, number one, his prayer was answered. But it also means that God now is going to open up all the doors to make his prayer happen. Does that make sense? That's exactly what he says. I've got your protection now. I've got all of it in my life. And he says to himself, Jabez says, oh, well, thank you. I am no longer a Jabez. I am no longer a pain. God changed him. Does that make sense? That new beginning. Now, the question is, like I told the early service, what name on this special day, this special sermon that God has given us for this church, what name do we want to enter 2023? Calvary Chapel, do we want to attach to our name? You know, in 2023, I pray that you remember what I'm about to tell you, because it's so vital. We have to, every church, but I'm talking to Calvary, we have to return to the roots of the early church. Question, did the early church believe in prayer? Yes. Yes, of course. Did the early church believe in the supernatural? The supernatural was the norm for the early church. Amen? And when they were threatened, they didn't write a letter to the pastor. When they were the disciples, when they were threatened, they didn't email, oh, what are we going to do? You know what they did? When they were threatened, they got down on their knees together and they prayed. Amen? Let me give you the scripture. It says in Acts 4:29, their prayer. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Don't you love? Have you ever prayed like that? Lord, look at those sissies. Look at this. You know, look on their threats. And grant to your servants, that's a key word there, servants, by the way, that with all boldness we may speak your word. Stretch out your hand, O God, to heal. Do signs and wonders that may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Boy, we could use that, couldn't we? It was shaken, and they were all, every person that prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning refilled with the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Boldness, loved one, is a spiritual quality. It is not a human quality. Does that make sense? Boldness comes from the Spirit of God. And the church today, for the large part, and I say this tenderly, no judgment, it's almost like the church in America, we've been silenced. Oh, well, you can't do this. You can't do it. No, I don't care what they say. I care what God says. Amen. And that's all that matters. Now, listen to me. Defeat awaits the non-praying Christian. Defeat awaits the non-praying church. And I say this again. I say it in love. You know, sometimes I say hard things, loved one, from the pulpit. But I love people. And I love the Church of Jesus Christ. But I like to speak the truth in love. Amen? And here's the problem. Today, the 21st century church, they have a mindset, if you will. And this mindset has stolen from this generation the adventure of following Jesus Christ. It is an adventure. Do you understand? Becky and I were talking early this morning as we're coming in, or whenever it was, when I was shaving. I don't really know, but I was talking. And I looked over and I said, you know, this 30, 37 years, whatever it's been, I said, it's been quite a party, hasn't it? Look what God has done. We haven't done it. We've just been along with the party, along for the adventure. Does that make sense? But the mindset of the 21st century church, they've stolen the power of the supernaturalness of God and prayer. And you know what the 21st century church has done? And it's going to get worse, but not here. The 21st century church, you know, they have conformed Jesus into their image. We're not going to do that. We are going to be conformed into the image of Christ. Amen? And you know what I've noticed? Listen, I have preached in Calvaries. I have preached in charismatic churches. I have preached in Pentecostal churches all over different parts of the world. You know what I like about a Pentecostal church or a charismatic church? Well, you say, what is it? Well, I like it when they run around the building with the tambourine. I've seen that a lot. And you know, there's a place for that, but not during the service. Afterglow, something, whatever. But here's what I've always noticed when I preached in those churches. They always came expecting. Expecting. They were excited about hearing the Word of God. They were excited. What is God going to do today? What is He going to do in this service? Who is God going to heal? Do you understand? Listen, God is a healer. And we don't want that stolen from us. He can heal the sick. They also, today, the mindset is, I come to judge the church. In other words, let's see what this church has to offer. And if it's on my plate here, well, that looks good. No, that's no good. That's good. And, you know, no, they don't, that's wrong. You know, we come to church, loved one, because of who we have. We have the King of Kings. We have the King of Glory. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the body of Christ. We're the family of God. And it is time, loved one, for us to pray and believe in the supernaturalness of God. And I'm talking about a Christmas prayer this morning. Do you remember when Jesus, in the triumphal entry of Christ, when he came in Jerusalem, he went up to a fig tree, and the fig tree had a whole bunch of leaves, and he was hungry, but when he reached his hand in there, did he find any fruit? No. So what did he do with that fig tree? He cursed it. Does God hate fig trees? And so the next day, Peter and all of them, and Jesus was coming back in Jerusalem, and Peter said, oh, Lord, look, that you spoke to that fig tree and cursed it, and look, it is withered up. It's dead. Now, what did Jesus tell them about that? I want to read it to you. And Jesus said in Mark 11:22, he answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Say that. Have faith in God. That is the most incredible teaching answer I have ever heard. In other words, did he give an explanation about why the fig tree withered? No. He just said, he gave them a command. He said, have faith in God. He didn't say, have faith in your prayer. He didn't say, have faith in your faith. He says, have faith in God. The most important thing in prayer, loved one, is not the amount of faith that you possess. If I have a glass of water up here and it's full to the brim, and I put my finger in and one drop water drops down, is it water? What's in the glass? Water. Okay, if that glass is full of faith, and I take my finger and dip it in one, is it still faith? Yes. It's not the amount of faith. Listen to me now. Romans 12:3. The Lord God has given unto each of us, every person, the measure, the exact measure of faith. You have that living in you right this very minute, right now, if you are a believer. Now listen to me. It's not the amount of faith. We put so much, and yes, it's faith is believing. I know all those things, but it's not the amount of faith that we possess. It's the object of our faith. Jesus said, man, you better really pray hard. You want to curse that fig tree like I did. You better get down on your knees. You know, I sound like I was in a Baptist church, didn't I? Do you understand what I mean? Did he say that? Oh, you better fast. I'm feeling better. He didn't do that, did he? He looked at them and gave them a command, and he gave us a command. He says, you have faith in God. He's the object of your faith. Perfect example. When you came down here this morning, you got in your car, came in late like you normally do, you know, and so forth. And you know, you came in and you sat down. Were you terrified to sit in that chair? I mean, did you sweat before? So I'm going to church and I have to sit in that chair. No. You just sat right down in it. Why? Well, you knew it was going to support you. Does that make sense? The chair was the object of your faith, not your faith. Jesus said, you have faith in God, a command. Listen to me, the object of our faith today and every day, please get this into your heart. Our faith is in the God, the one who can never lie. Amen. Our faith is in God who can never change. Our faith is in God who can never fail us. Never fail us. God has never failed us. Do you understand? Never. He's never failed me. He has never failed you. Listen to what God says in the Psalm 89:33. He says, oh, my loving kindness, I'll not take from him. I will, nor will I allow my faithfulness to fail. God's faithfulness will never fail. He says, my covenant that I make with my people, my covenant, new covenant, old covenant, he says, I'll never break. He says, nor will I alter the word that has gone out from my lips. So what did Jesus, how did Jesus continue about the fig tree? He says unto them in Mark 11:23, he says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, he gives two commands, be thou removed and cast into the sea, that's a command, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And listen carefully to this part. And whenever you stand praying, if you have aught against anyone, forgive that person, or your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespass. Now listen, the mountain is a metaphor, okay? Meaning the impossible or immovable. My wife turned to me earlier and said, that mountain, Bill, is a mountain of doubt. That's a great word. That's what it is. Any mountain that you have, it's just a mountain of doubt. You can't doubt. Does that make sense? You just have to believe. You have to have faith in God. Now listen, that mountain, you look at it and say, oh, it's immovable. It can't be moved, and it's impossible. But see, it is not faith that moves mountains. It's God who moves mountains. Have faith in God. See, the word impossible does not exist in God's vocabulary. Dr. Adrian Rogers said this, who's home with the Lord. He says, faith is not knowing God can. Faith is believing God will. We must exercise faith in God. Do you have faith in God? Or do you have faith, well, I prayed, Lord, and so forth? No, listen, God answers baby prayers. He answers teenage prayers. He answers, listen, short prayers. What did Peter pray when he walked on the water? Lord, save me. He did. It's having faith in God who will never let you down. What are we going to do with some of these scriptures about prayer? Jesus gave a command and he gave promises in Matthew 7:7. He says, ask. That word actually in the Greek is present continuous. Keep on asking. He says, ask and it will be what? Do you believe that? He says, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open. And here comes the promises. For everyone, no matter who they are, for everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Do you really believe that? See, the only way you can believe that is to have faith in God. He's the object of our faith. How about James 4:2-3? The Bible says, James says, you know why you don't have anything? You have not because you... You have to go to the Lord in prayer. Then you ask amiss. How do you ask amiss? You ask things that you want to spend on your own pleasure and blowing whatever it might be, you know? That's what it says. Now listen, Jesus told us. Listen to what Jesus said. He said in John 15:7, there, remember, if you know about the vine and the branches, you can't do anything without me and so forth. He said in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide, live, dwell in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Man, is that an incredible promise? But the condition is that if my word abides in you, my words abide in you. Jesus said, remember the temptation scene in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? We are to renew our minds, Romans 12:2. Amen? To the Word of God. Now, why? Because when we get the Word of God in us, we won't ask things that are wrong. In other words, when we fill our hearts and our minds with the Word of God and know that God's will becomes our will, and we speak right things in prayer. How about this one? John 14:13. Whatever Jesus said, you ask in my name meaning that is compatible with who I am. I am the spotless, sinless Son of the living God. I'm the Savior of the world. I'm the King of kings. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And listen to the reason, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, that's a powerful verse, isn't it? Does he mean that if I say, Lord, I want to look 10 years younger, I say, that's anything. Lord, can you remove my gray hair? You see how silly, come on. Is it a blank check? No, we know the Word of God here, don't we? No, it means if the Word of God has filled us up, we're going to pray His Word. It also means that we're going to pray His will. And see, God answers prayer according to His will. Amen? Let me give you the scripture. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Let me read it to you. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. What is the will of God? The Word of God, the Bible, you hold it in your hand. If we ask anything according to the will of God, it says He hears us. Oh, I'm so thankful. And we know, it is a fact, it's certain, we know that He hears us, we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. Now listen very carefully. Last Sunday, the screen is about to come down. It's a very special day today. Last Sunday, we learned that Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, this church, Haltom Christian School, Mexico, and you are good works from God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Not only that those good works were created not in time, but before time began, and they were prepared for all of us that we should walk in them. Amen? Now listen very carefully. Since we are God's good works, there's something that is needed, and that is what I'm about to show you. Are the photos, are they rolling? I want you to look at these areas here. Anyone know what that is? That's Aaron's. Do you see how everything has been vandalized? How long has that place been vandalized? How long has it been in this condition? How long? I call this area on 377 from the service station down to Aaron's, I call it like Death Valley. You know what I mean? I mean, it is. It's the corner of death. Look at the new gas station. I thought, boy, they're going to build. Look how pretty. And they put all those trees out and all the shrubs out. Did they live? They let them die. They let them die. Listen to me now. From that corner all the way down to Aaron's, past Aaron's, the old Aaron's building, which has been vacant for 2 years. They don't even know who owns that building. Listen now. Has never borne fruit. Do you understand what I just said? That area has never borne fruit. It is so fruitless, it is unbelievable. Are they still rolling? I haven't seen them. Look at the homeless people sleep right there. People that do drugs stay right there. It's amazing. You can see the areas we've had to remove and so forth. Try to clean that place up. And listen, the thing is that it's like I said, it's a hidden haven for drug users and so forth. The car wash, the same thing, drug users and whatever. I'm not beating the drug users up. I want to get them saved, but it's a violent place. Does that make sense? Oh, I mean, I talked with the owner of the car wash. He's been vandalized by people, the drug people. He had to finally weld shut the coin area for the vacuums, so they couldn't break into it anymore and go through all that's going on. And you think about that area there and so forth. Do you know, we fenced in, you know the beautiful fence that we put up? You notice how tall it was from the corner all the way to the back? If you have never seen that. Why did we do that? Was it because we want to beautify the property? No, we had to protect the children at Calvary Chapel. We had to protect the children of Haltom Christian School. We did that in order to where people wouldn't come across and say things to our children and even walk into the playground area. Are you with me? Okay, it's fruitless. That's a fruitless area, loved one. And not only that, so we fenced it all in because also they were stealing where the vans, the church vans are back there, the catalytic converters out of them. Not only that, it's so interesting. We have it on film, I believe, or I saw it on film. We had people from the car wash looking over the new fence that we put in. and they were looking at that nice golf cart that we have for security. And you know what they did? They hopped over the fence, they got the cutters, they cut the locks, they caught on the golf cart, opened up the gates, and they drove that thing down 377. Yeah. They sold it. It was sold that day. Isn't that amazing? It's been ongoing over and over. So we put that fence up, and guess what? The owner of the car wash comes over and talks to me. He says, I'm tearing my fence down. I said, your fence is already torn down. I said, what are you doing? He says, well, I've got a brand new fence. I've got your fence. I said, what? I said, are you going to damage our fence? I said, your people over there are rough, man. And I'm saying all of that when we think about the kids, that they can't even play back there because of the foul language. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about the music that they play. They're lost, and I know. They're lost. But I don't want my children hearing those words. Do you? No, not at all. The senior high, the junior high youth, they can't even use they have a beautiful 1,000-square-foot patio. We haven't even ordered the outdoor furniture for them because Pastor Kendall, when he was back there, and then Pastor Raul Sisco, because of the fact is, the youth go out there, and the people that are playing all the music, it's so vile, we don't want them to hear it. Does that make sense? So we look at all of those things, and here's what's really sad, and you're not going to believe this, but it really happens. Our school that's here, I mean, during the day, people come around the car wash, they walk along the side of the building, and they urinate right there in front of the windows where the teachers are. Do you understand that? And I'm going, dear God. You know, Paul Koo, who's an elder of the church here, one of the elders, you know what he does? Of his own volition, I'm thankful for him. He, every morning before the teachers arrive and the kids arrive, he stands guard out there so they can get into the building safely. Isn't that amazing? Because we've had problems with people here and so forth. Matter of fact, it's even been considered and talked about on board meetings and so forth that we might have to put an iron fence around the whole property. Wouldn't that be horrible? I don't want to be a prison, do you? Now, here's the thing. You say, Bill, where in the world are you going? I'm glad you asked. I want to go back to, you don't have to turn there unless you're still there, but I want to go back to Jabez's second request. He says, oh God, enlarge my territory. The word enlarge, again, it means to increase or extend, but listen carefully. What does the word territory mean? Again, an area of land under the jurisdiction of another. Did you catch that? The land that is under the jurisdiction of another. Christmas prayer. I'm going to ask you a question. Ephesians 3:20. Do you believe this scripture? That God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think according to the power that is in you. And then he goes on, and for the glory of the church to all generations. Do you believe that? Yes. Is it here or is it here? Do you have faith in God? Not faith in, I'm a mighty prayer warrior. Oh, come on. You have faith in God. When God speaks, it's true. Do you have faith in that? Here's the deal. You see this up here? That's taken, you see the yellow? You can answer me.
Yes.
The yellow is our current property. Okay? This is our current property. The blue, what is that? You're pretty good. I mean, you've never seen it from above. You got it down. You're like a reconnaissance group, you know. So, okay, and see the red? What is the red? I want to read from my journal, March 30th, 2001. The church board voted today to go ahead and purchase the remaining 4 acres from Mr. Haltom. Now, we had already made 2 previous purchases from him. We bought all the land this way, paid cash. Then we made another deal. He would come to my office repeatedly. Good guy, you know, and then we bought all the land that way and paid cash for it as well. It says the board voted to purchase the remaining 4 acres from Mr. Halton. I met with Mr. Halton there in the upper room. That's where my office used to be, up in the media booth. We shook our hands. We went over the deal. We agreed to the price. And I said, we were paying cash. We had the money. That's the way we do business here. And it says, I shook his hand. The deal was done. And I said, Mr. Halton, I have to leave for Austin, and I'll be back on Monday. And I said, and we'll get the attorneys and the title company, all that, and we'll just settle the deal. He said, fine, no worries. Reading from my journal, April 1st, just a couple days later, 2001. Mr. Halton sold the land out from underneath me. It's hard to believe, Lord, but I praise your name. We agreed to a specific price, but because another person came along and said, oh, they'll pay you that, I'll pay you this, he took it immediately. Didn't ask me. Do you understand? I couldn't barter. I couldn't say, hey, let me make a counter offer. Does that make sense? And so it was just, it was stolen out from underneath us in 2001. The scripture for our revolution is Matthew 11:12 that reads, Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, or in other words, they seize the kingdom because we belong to the kingdom. It's a precious prize. Amen? Now listen, it is time now, right this minute, to put Matthew 6:33 into action. Remember that Jesus only said seek first about one thing in the entire Bible. And that is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? I want you to listen now. That property in red is kingdom property. It is a fruitless, dead, it's never prospered, and it never will prosper because it doesn't belong to them. Amen. No, do you hear me? I believe that Jabez won back his inheritance. However he lost it, however his brothers lost it, however his dad lost it, whatever happened, he lost his land. And I know that he won it back by prayer. How do I know that? Let me give you the scripture. 1 Chronicles 2:55, and the families of the scribes who dwelt at Jabez were. And it lists the names. Now listen, the town of Jabez, God returned to Jabez that land that was under the jurisdiction of someone else to him. Do you hear what I just said? I told the Lord, I said, Father, if you really want me to stand in front of your people, I have to have a text that proves what you're saying to me. I shook the hand. I made the deal. We made the deal. Are you listening to me? The land in 2001 that was supposed to be ours is now under the jurisdiction of another. God returned Jabez the land that was lost. Now listen carefully. What did Jabez do with what God gave him back? Let me read it to you. It became a place where the scribes, I just read it to you, began to study the word of God. Let me read what one scholar wrote. Jabez established a school of training in the word of God for young men and women. Here, Jabez was training a training school for these scribes who were to be the prophets and go out and teach the scriptures in various villages and places in the land of Israel. Listen, this property that was stolen from us, that we agreed to buy. The deal was done. Loved one, this is kingdom property, and it belongs to us. It has borne no fruit. It is fruitless. Now listen, what Jabez did, we want to do. What does that mean? The reason we need to do this is because we need 10,000 square feet. What does that mean? We need 10,000 square feet for the children, the school, Haltom Christian School, in order to raise up godly children, to help raise up godly children. Amen? That's what this is all about. You know, so this is we're looking at the school. See, if we take the land that we have left over here and build a school 10,000 square feet, I talked with the architect last week. He did the master plan study years ago for this area. He said, Bill, right now construction costs are just out of this world. He said it could cost you anywhere from $200 to $300 a foot. Well, if it's $250 a foot, loved one, to build 10,000 square feet for classrooms, that's $2.5 million. Just for 10,000 square feet. Now, just hold on, because I know that you're going, some of you are hiding your wallet. I'm not talking about money. Do you hear me? Money is not even in my heart. I've never asked you for anything in 30 years except for the children. I believe where God guides, he always provides. So you say, well, Bill, if you're not asking for money, what are you asking for? I'm asking you to have faith in God. I'm asking you right now to go and start praying what was stolen from us that's under now, and what was stolen from us in 2001 and is under the jurisdiction of another. And again, like Merlinda has been checking with Aaron, that old building that's falling apart and been vandalized over and over, they don't even know who owns that building. They don't even know what, that's so crazy, all of this. No, loved one, listen, Jesus said have faith in God. What am I asking you to do? Christmas prayer. I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to believe. I'm asking you to say, Lord, it was stolen from us, and here you gave us this word. You gave that word to Bill, and I believe that word, and I'm going to have faith in you that whatever you want to do and however you want to do it, get that land back to us. No, that's it. Well, you mean you're not going to try to do it? No, I'm not going to do a thing. I've already done it. I've already prayed. I've already believed. Now you have to do that. Does that make sense? That's all you have to do. I'm not going to take up an offering. No. God's going to do it all. God has always done it all. No, you don't understand. He built this place. You think I did? Oh God, I can't tie my shoes without Him. No, I can't. Ask my wife. I can't do anything. I don't even listen. Look what He has done. Have faith in God. You have to pray now. You have to believe now. You have to stand up and say, Lord, it was stolen, and it was. Listen, if I shake your hand, is that good enough? Am I a man of my word? You follow what I'm getting at? Okay. It's now what was stolen from us, what we agreed that, yes, thank you, it's a done deal, is under the jurisdiction of another. I don't know who all that jurisdiction is, and I don't care. But God, I have faith in God. Do you have faith in God? Can you believe that for the future of this church, for that building up there to become the new classrooms for the school? Because we're outgrowing everything that we need. Do you understand? I mean, you say, well, Bill, what if we have to buy it? Well, what if God just gives it to us? Amen. Oh, no. I've seen Him do that. I've seen it over and over and over. God says, you have faith in me. I'll do it for you, man. I'm your provider. God, let God be God. Say, Lord, it's under the jurisdiction of another. All, Lord, we want our property back, the kingdom property for the future of this church and the future of Haltom Christian School. We need a classroom, Lord. We want to get rid of that car wash. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, or maybe we'll own it and turn it into a decent car wash. A supernatural car wash. You can come and get your car cleaned and your soul cleaned at the same time. You know? I mean, I don't know. Who knows what God could do? Listen, I don't try to figure it out. I just say, I believe. God is moving. He is doing something. You know, I read a story about this little boy. I'm sorry, about a village. They came together and said, we got to pray for rain. And everybody showed up and to pray for rain on a specific day. And as they gathered together, there was only one little boy. And that little boy came with an umbrella. The others didn't. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Church, listen. I'm telling you, let's go crazy in the Spirit and see what God can do. We need a supernatural move of God in this city and in this church. I want that property. God gave me the word. I didn't want to come up here and give you some kind of, you know, Bill, they're going to think you're crazy. Do you understand me? But God gave me the scripture, perfect scripture. I mean, I couldn't believe it. That's God. Father, here we are. Here's your second service. Enlarge our territory. Lord, what was stolen from us, that area that is now under the jurisdiction of another, this is your good work. It belongs to you. I was your servant. I shook his hand. I shook his hand. We said yes. It was stolen out from underneath us, Lord. So now, we're just going to rest in you, but we're going to keep praying. We're going to keep just thanking you that you're moving. And Lord, whatever you do, just let us keep. Give us the power to keep praying and keep believing. And Lord, we're not going to define how you're going to do things. We're going to celebrate the way you're going to do it. And we're going to be blown away. We're going to be blown away. I'm already blown away. Oh God, you're so good to us. I'm so excited, Lord. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. And his church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Do you believe? Then keep praying. Keep praying. And then we're going to have to go over there and restore that place. Amen. Oh, isn't I'm excited. I'm thinking I'm going to go over there after the service and wash the windows or something. You know, I love you with all my heart. Next Sunday we're going to get into the Christmas spirit. Okay, will you pray with me? I know you're saying it, but will you pray with me?
Yes.
Amen. Have faith in God. I love you dearly. The Lord bless you. Jesse's going to close us out. If you're visiting with us, there's a visitor center over there. They have a free gift to Hawaii that they want to give you, or what, to see the Mauna Loa volcano, whatever it is. You know, sometimes I just don't want to leave. You know, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Just thank you, Lord. What a great adventure it is to follow Jesus. Let's go.